Welcome to Black Hat 2017 Las Vegas, SecurityGuyTV.com. Lovely Miss Charisse. And
buddy.
Mike, welcome back.
Thanks, Chuck.
Black
nice
Duck
to see
Software.
You, man.
I will not go over my failed explanation of where Black Duck name came from, but I did last year. But it's a great product. Tell us what Black Duck Software does.
Sure. We've been around since for about 12, 13 years now.
Yeah, it's a long time in this biz.
Yeah, it is. We provide software that helps companies identify the open source code that they're using in their applications.
Yeah.
And we do that because most companies have no visibility to that at all.
And they don't know that sometimes they're using, there's embedded open source code in products that they're buying.
That's correct. We just did a
really?
Yep.
We did a study of commercial software last year, and we just published another one a few months ago. We looked at over 1,100 applications last year through our Black Duck On Demand business. So typically we're pulled in during due diligence in an M&A transaction.
Yep.
So they'll Black Duck the code to make sure that it doesn't violate any licensing issues or security issues.
Now,
and we found that the average application had 125 plus sources, but the customers were only aware of about half of those.
Really?
And two-thirds of those applications had vulnerabilities in the open source.
It just bugs the crap out of me, this open source thing. I know you say we got to do it and so on, but we've talked to a lot of people during the show that have not solutions that you have, but it's almost like they're on the other side of guarding against it, right?
Yeah.
In other words, there's something happened that was malicious because of open source, but they're not trying to fix open source.
Right.
Not their job.
Right.
That's your job. So identify it.
Well, it's our job to identify it, and then the developers obviously have to do something
about
that.
Right.
They have to have awareness of the problem before they can defend themselves against it. And it's really twofold. They have so many open source components that they're using in every application, but there are 3,000 or 4,000 vulnerabilities disclosed every year. So again, if you don't know what you're using, it's difficult to defend against that. And frankly, if you're using that many open source components, which you should be because it accelerates time to market and so on,
right?
Tracking that against a dozen or more vulnerabilities every day, as reported by the National Vulnerability Database,
becomes
a real problem.
No. Now, talk to me how this ties into the Internet of Things. I don't think we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have open source to develop.
It's called job security, Chuck.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's twofold, right? The IoT world is really focused on functionality. And this could be commercial IoT, it could be consumer IoT, but they're still focused on functionality and not on security. It's kind of the universal problem with software development.
Yeah.
So they're using open source extensively because they want to be able to lower their development costs, accelerate time to market, and so on. Again, they're not they don't have visibility to it, but even if they do, they've got a twofold problem. They've got to fix the issue in their software, then they have to update their customer's product,
right?
Or maybe it has to go through a channel in order to do that. So if you've got an IoT refrigerator, who's updating that?
Yeah.
Unless
they have a remote
that.
Connection in, so there's not really an scalable way to manage those updates.
I was just thinking that because...
And you don't want someone to be able to remote in to your refrigerator or TV for that matter.
Or do you? I don't know. I mean, if refrigerators become lollipop updates, my head's going to bust, okay? Stay home. I got to update the refrigerator, honey.
Let me ask you, let me turn it around, though. How would you feel about auto-updating your smart TV with the video camera and the microphone?
I think they have to do it, right? So... this is what I'm worried about. We've heard people talk. It was with you yesterday, right? How hardware is 10 years behind.
Yep.
Because hardware, you make a hard drive, it keeps running.
Yep.
I got tape drives that still work. Okay. Nobody's updating that because it's a piece of hardware that works.
Yep.
So I look at that as the same thing with the Internet of Things. I'm a TV manufacturer. I'm a refrigerator. I'm a heart monitor. Internet, Schminternet, who cares?
Yeah.
That's not my job. And who's going to hack that, right? But if you can think of it, it's going to happen. So how can Black Duck help those people on that side of it? Is that open source code for those Internet of Things, I don't know, easy peasy, not quite as complicated as some other kind of software, or is it all kind of the same?
Well, I wrote an article last year about how the IoT are really facetiously calling for a cyber EPA because the Internet of Things is really becoming pollutants. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
When you have things like the Dyn attack last fall, where the DVRs and the cameras, the online cameras, were compromised in a botnet attack, the Mirai attacks, and Dyn got taken down.
Yep.
And so this is a case where the insecurity of those devices isn't just affecting those people who own the devices. It really had no impact on the people who own those devices.
Yeah.
But it did affect Etsy, and it affected Twitter, and it affected... Now, so they lost some revenue. What if that was telesurgery? What if it was first responders? Yeah. Now
that's
you're talking
right.
about potential loss of life.
So
these
I would guess that the firmware and the software you need for your refrigerator, not exactly complicated. So since it's not complicated, that's not your go-to-market problem. It's getting your compressor fixed. Really, that's more of your problem. That's supply chain, right? So why can't those sort of people take just another day and just stick something on there that's better? Because it's not like you're releasing an app on your phone that has to be checked and checked and checked. This is just a teeny piece of software in a refrigerator. And that's the part I don't get. Same thing with cameras.
Yeah.
Back in the day when cameras were analog, when they switched over to digital, people would put password for the password. Nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
And now cameras are attacking networks.
Well, it really comes down to the quality of the developer and how well the developers understand different security code parameters and how to check and validate. And not all developers are created equally or have the same skill sets. And so, again, depending if you're trying to get stuff out to market first or even in the open source community, it really depends on who's coding.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But did you listen to Alex's keynote this morning?
No.
So he was talking about kind of a don't be smug attitude that security people have to start taking. So the developers are doing the best that job they are. The stuff that we're hacking, we as a community are hacking, it doesn't mean we're smarter than the others. It means that, we're trained for different types of skills. So what is that IoT developer being trained to do? What's he being compensated to do? It's not for security.
Nope.
He's compensated for getting functionality out by date X. And if he doesn't do that, he's not going to have a job.
Yep.
So it really is, and I don't know anything about this, right? But to me, I think you should be trained. What you're telling me is two disciplines. A guy that's trained to write code is not a guy that's trying to write security code. It's just a different skill.
It is.
Interesting.
It is.
Right?
But by getting, as we start to look at the DevOps world and this continuous integration and so on, you need to involve security in that in kind of in an agile process. It can't be security as a service anymore. And some of the security testing technologies, methodologies like static analysis and so on, are kind of heavy. So they take a lot of time. They produce a lot of results. The results need to be scrubbed. It doesn't really fit with the agile environment, with the CI/CD environment. So we're seeing that moving back into a service offering. But when open source makes up 80% of your code base, and the static analysis tools can't detect these vulnerabilities in open source, you really need to involve some other level of security, and that's where Black Duck comes in.
Now, tell me how Black Duck does that. Do you collect libraries and then compare your libraries with known threats to some? Where do you get the code from to check?
Yeah,
so
we have we do three methodologies. So there are some newer companies in the market that we're looking at dependency checkers. What's in the POM file? What's in the package manager? Basically, what's being declared as being required. But those are going to miss things that are built into the code. They're going to miss things that are compiled into the code. So we do the dependency checking. We do, POM file, package manager checking. We also analyze every file. So we're taking a hash. Think of it as a hash of the files, of the directory structure, of the metadata, and then matching that to our knowledge base. And we track over 2.5 million unique open source projects and every version of each of those 2.5 million. And we've been doing it for 12 years or 13 years.
2.5 million active projects.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah, 1,500, wow. 2,500 different licenses.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, including the infamous beer license, the Stratocaster license.
Man, unbelievable.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Now, just give you an idea of how this physically works. Are you going to a developer and they're hiring you and putting your software in place and say, okay, I'm done, check it?
Typically it's integrated into the build process.
Oh, it
so
is, okay.
You put it into the CI process. So if you have an orchestrator like a Jenkins or a TeamCity or something like that, that would kick off a scan every time you use it.
Oh, good.
The results or the output of that scan is it's a laundry list of all of the open source down to the version level. But we refer to that as a bill of materials, just like the automotive industry would have a bill of materials for a car.
Oh, yeah, makes sense, yeah.
And that way, when there is a vulnerability disclosed, whether there's a vulnerability in there today or one's disclosed a month from now, we know exactly which software applications it's being used in or our customer does, and they can address that directly. So
they're coding in real time. Your code is being checked, check. It's out the door. It's good. Still not 100% guarantee.
It's out the door good from an open source perspective, but a new vulnerability could be disclosed
because
tomorrow.
They patch it in with some other code, and then all of a sudden it creates
OpenSSL. That was Heartbleed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
How many vulnerabilities have been in OpenSSL since Heartbleed? About 90.
Wow. Right?
Those don't get on Good Morning America. but they happen, you know, a few times a year, something that happens. So when that happens, we can issue an alert. So we joke about it. It's like the automotive industry solved this problem 100 years ago, right? When there's a recall, you don't have to bring your car in and have the onboard computer query to see if you're using the Takata airbag, right? Takata knows which serial numbers were affected. They know who they sold them to. Those vendors know who they went down into, which cars they went down to the VIN number, and they notify the owners directly. That's essentially what we're doing with software. And the alternative is that you take a vulnerability scanner, load in a Heartbleed rule, and scan your entire environment. And then tomorrow when a new rule vulnerability comes out, you do that all over again.
I feel better.
Yeah.
I always feel good when I talk to Mike. They're on top of it.
So what keeps you up at night?
Nothing really. I mean, we're growing like gangbusters. We're having a good time.
Excellent.
We've doubled in size
good.
In the last 2 years. We're making money. We're just everything.
Hey. Positive. Love it.
Yeah. Excellent.
Mike Penninger, always a pleasure to
have you.
BlackDuckSoftware.com.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy TV at Black Hat 2017.